All right, fantastic. Here we are, Worldwide Live through BBS on the Internet. Thank you, BBS, and I welcome all those people who are here early at the show. And this is a simulcast with a conference call. We have a bunch of people, well, a few people on the call right now. Hopefully a bunch of people will participate in a little bit. Every time you hear a ding, that is somebody else participating, and we have somebody else just coming in. I welcome you. If you want to, please say your name and location.
Morgan in California.
Hello, Morgan. Welcome to the call.
Thank you very much, Heis. Love to all.
Love to
Be
you,
well.
Morgan.
Be well.
Hi, Morgan.
Thank you, Morgan.
Hi, Downs.
No, it's Wanda.
I didn't really hear you. I'm sorry.
I said, hi, Morgan.
Oh, okay. Hi.
It's Donna.
Oh, hi. How are you?
I'm all right. Good to hear your voice.
Great. Great to be here.
Hi, Morgan. This is Ron.
Hi, Don. How you doing way back there?
Okay.
Great. Great. Okay. I'm going to plug in my headset now.
All right. So we are a few minutes early on the call and online, actually, and I welcome those who are coming in. We cannot see you online, but we appreciate you participating with this call. The more people, the better the energy, usually.
I have not seen an email yet, so any idea what our topic is tonight?
No, it might. If you ask Win right now, he might not know it yet. I don't know.
Isn't the topic supposed to be a follow-up from the other day?
No, not necessarily. You know, if on the Mondays, he sometimes does a follow-up from the last Monday, but...
Okay, so when he was talking about a follow-up the other day, he means next Monday then, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what I'm referring to?
That was last week. We talked about he had a great call. It was a great call last week with a bunch of information in 1 hour.
and that was like the Monday. And then he said he was going to have a follow-up on that.
All right.
I wasn't sure if that would be today's or...
That is correct, yes. That should be today. It doesn't mean that it's going to happen because Win is a, free man, right? Free-floating. Good evening and welcome to the conference call. Please say your name and location.
It's Carla in Okotoks, Alberta.
Hello, Carla. Good evening to you and welcome.
Oh, finally. I finally got you to the phone.
All right. And two more people tuned in. Welcome. Please say your name and location.
You on the other line.
Percy, North Carolina.
Percy, good evening and welcome.
Glad to be here.
Dan from Wisconsin. Oh, okay.
Who's this from Wisconsin?
Dan.
Hey, Ben, welcome to the call. Thank you for being here. And another line came in. Welcome. If you want to, please say your name and location. If you want to.
If you want
Michael
to.
From California.
Oh, Michael, I hear you. How you doing, Michael?
Doing great, hi. Thank you.
All right. Thank you for being here.
Hi, Michael.
This is Michael from Camino. All right. Somebody else, welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Dr. Freeman from Phoenix.
Oh, Uncle Terry, what a blessing. Oh. Thank you for being here.
Yeah, you're welcome.
All right.
I'm here.
Fantastic.
I'm still waiting for your book in the mail.
Which one? I've got three. I got three. They're all selling like hotcakes.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
It will be the man who walked with Jesus. We had two more people join in. Welcome. Please say your name and location.
What's your name?
My name is
sure
Wanda.
That book.
Wanda.
Wanda. Okay, Wanda.
Marilyn.
Hello, Marilyn from PA.
Hi, from CA.
Hi, Marilyn.
Hi.
Here, kitty.
This is Don in Northern Ohio. Hi, sir.
Hello, Don. Good evening. Welcome to the call.
Thanks.
Is Julia on the line? Julia.
not on the line.
No, oh, poo.
Hey, Dr. Friedman, what are your other two books about?
They're about unusual medical therapy that I've used in the last 20 years of my practice.
And you said something, you were into like some kind of essential oils or something?
Well, no, it's using all kinds of modalities, seven or eight different types of modalities.
Okay.
What year did you put that book out?
The oil.
What year
was it published?
Oil. Yeah, it was
a holistic doctor. All right, let's force you to speak at the same time. Say it again, Wanda, you were asking?
I asked what year he printed the book with his therapies on.
The first edition was in 91. The second upgrade edition was in 1998. And I'm ready to go with my third edition. The information changes so rapidly.
Yes.
I have to upgrade every several years. Right.
There was a doctor on Coast to Coast Saturday talking about the thyroid as being a source of a lot of health problems, hypothyroidism.
Right.
Yeah, that's, everybody's got thyroid problems.
I do.
Not everybody, but
I have it.
Me too. It can run in the family, and they can be born with it now.
Yeah, a lot of people do.
Anybody who has that problem, check out, the guy's name was Mark Starr, Dr. Mark Starr. Check out his website.
Okay.
Really? I'll have to check it out.
Yep.
He was very good.
Yes.
I just finished a load of different health foods. Miranda, in order to try to...
Hi, Loranda. Welcome to the call.
Work.
Thank you.
Well, thank you for sharing, Dr. Friedman. And we had more people join in. I welcome all of you. Please say your name and location.
This is Roger in Austin.
Hi, Roger. Welcome to the call.
Hi, Roger.
All right.
Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Hi, this is Terry.
Hi, Terry Brown. Welcome to the call.
Hi.
Hi, Terry.
Hello,
hi,
Terry.
Hi, God. Hi.
Hello, Miss Terry.
Hi, Terry.
Oh.
Hi, Terry.
Hi. Hi, Uncle Jerry.
Hello, Terry and Terry.
Hello, Terry.
All right.
Hi, Terry. Hi, Dr. Terry.
Hi, Marilyn.
Did I hear Dwayne call in?
Negative.
Oh. Oh.
All right, so here we are, Monday night. I welcome all those people who are joining in online through BBS Radio. Great to have you here. 6:03 Monday night. We are still waiting for Winfrey, and I'm going to check with his roommate, Terry Brown.
He was looking for his phone, but he found it. So he's calling in right now.
You guys reversed roles recently. Now you're always here on time, and Wynn doesn't look for his phone.
You passed your phone problems to him, didn't you?
He switched souls.
Terry,
or something.
You can badger him now.
Welcome back, Susan.
Thank you.
Thank you for being here. All right, so now Wynn is looking for his phone charger, probably.
No, he's calling it.
Speaking about the devil. Good evening, Wynn.
I am here.
Glad you made it.
Hello.
Need to learn to use that phone, Wynn.
It's all Terry's fault.
Can we all do an applause for Wynn?
Thank you.
Yay. I'm sending you a bouquet of doses.
Snap my fingers like a beatnik.
Do you need to go to
Muse
University?
I went to the dentist with Terry.
He took me to the dentist. Oh, that's worse.
And I just got in the last minute. And I was going to do all this stuff preparing for this call. So now...
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves.
Well, I'm talking to you, but I didn't even get the email out. Okay, we're all here. Everyone's quiet. We have a nice little intimate group. And hang on a second. I thought I'm recording, and this thing is taking its instructions slowly.
You are the best.
I think our internet is slow here. We are in a motel in Phoenix, and yeah, you better start it. Now it says I'm disconnected.
Hey, Ben, yeah. your line is not so clear at this point, your phone line.
Let me see. Is this better?
It's a little better, yes.
Okay.
You just came in on video console. Okay.
This conference is being recorded.
Hey, this is July 14th, 2014. Wynn and Terry in Phoenix, not Sedona today. And we went to the dentist. Guess what? We're humans. Terry goes to the dentist. And we visited Uncle Terry. I visited Uncle Terry 2 days ago.
And Uncle Terry is also with us here tonight.
Hi, Terry. You probably, I don't know if he's on the right line, so I don't know if I'll hear him. But I wanted to continue with the call we did last week. And I wanted to give some of the backup and some of the research I did. And I probably won't catch everything because I didn't prepare for it properly. But I'll give enough because, you know, I got a lot of emails from people after last week's call. And if you missed it, I recommend you listen to it because I put together an extremely breakthrough research and conclusions that I drew. And it had to do with the nature of Jesus, the nature of the group souls, the connection of the group souls to Jesus. And I did a huge amount of research as well as sessions, not a huge amount of sessions, but one session anyway, years ago, concerning making the case that Jesus was connected to the rock group. Also, that the idea, and I don't know if I said this last week, but I'll say it today. The idea that we use the word frequencies sometime, and for example, the rock group always would tell Carla Ruckert, we come to you on a narrow band frequency. And the Elohim group talks about coming in on a frequency and that their frequency is higher than the rock group. And the part of the hypothesis of last week was that Jesus was a connection with the rock group and that when he said, Father, I have the idea that it was the rock group that answered. And there were a number of indications that led me to that conclusion. And, you know, it's a rather controversial conclusion, particularly since we have Carla Ruckert as a regular participant in our calls, and she is, could be called the I was going to say the queen of the rock group, but I don't know if that's the right way to say it. She is the significant person in recent times to bring through the rock group in 1981 in a series of 4 years of channelings, which turned into 5 books, where the rock group answered questions very diligently from her partner, Don Elkins, but never ever did he ask the question and never ever did they say they were responsible for Jesus or connected to Jesus. even though they do answer a lot of questions about Jesus. And so Carl Rucker never drew that conclusion. And, of course, she went to church every Sunday for many years, I think Presbyterian, and she just kept her religion separate from her channelings and never put the two together. And I don't ever ask her to say, well, do you agree, Carla? I don't really want to ask anyone to agree. I'll just keep presenting the case, and people can just consider it. And then, of course, we have Terry Friedman on the line, who wrote this extraordinary book, The Man Who Walked with Jesus, who we believe was very likely, very possibly, is the reincarnation of Matthew, the Jesus' disciple, who wrote the book of Matthew and was kind of Jesus' scribe. And Terry never got the idea that Jesus was connected to a group soul. And he, you know, Jesus would say, Father, Father, and that's how people related to him. So I'm not telling anyone to believe this. I'm just telling you that I went through a lot of review and I came to a lot of disconnected sources that seem to point in that direction. And so I told the story in great detail last week. I urge you to listen to last week's call, if you didn't, at the Spirit Channel. It's the one that says Egypt, Anunnaki, Jesus, and something else, which I can't remember. Because this week is, you know, this week's call will stand on its own, but it will make a lot more impact on you if you listen to last week's call. And I had at least three people that emailed me that said last week's call was the best call I had ever done. And I think because I was tying together historically, so many of the things we've discussed, from the Anunnaki to Edgar Cayce to David Wilcock to the Ra Group to Jesus. And I was tying them all together. And this is something that I had been pondering for a long time. I said, there must be a way. How does the Ra Group fit into the Anunnaki? The Anunnaki breeding hybrid program where they were creating humans. And we know from the Rucker channelings that the Ra Group took responsibility for bringing the tangled mass of souls from Maldek to Earth. Now, how do you move souls from one planet to another? We would have to ask the Ra Group. But they said they did that. And, you know, this was a whole planet of souls. And this was probably in 500,000 B.C. or 500,000 years ago. And that they said they brought them to Earth to continue their evolution. So we have a billion souls, I think, or hundreds of millions. I don't know what the population was, that were a tangled mass. What does it mean to be a tangled mass? The way they described it was that these souls did not know they were individualized. They didn't have any awareness of themselves. They existed in the cosmos, but were not aware that they were there. They were unconscious. And they were glommed together, and that they needed to be brought into bodies in order to unglom themselves and individualize themselves. And that became the Ra Group's project, and that we made the idea which I asked in a channeling recently, and they said, yes, I was right, that these souls were being brought into the Anunnaki hybrid bodies that the Anunnakis were using as slaves. So now we have three interested parties in these Anunnaki hybrids. One is the two brothers, Enlil and Enki. Those are two parties, Enki and Enlil. Enki, who wanted to evolve these humans into individualized beings that could connect to Godhead, and Enlil, who wanted to destroy these beings because he felt it was violating a Confederation of Planets code of some sort, or some code, that said don't mess with the evolution of a planet. And Enki won, and Enki Enlil kept trying to destroy them. And on some level, these Anunnaki were presenting themselves as gods to the humans so they could control them. And the humans were fairly, how would I say it, ornery. That would be a word, ornery. They were difficult. Now, one of the reasons they were difficult, according to our sources, is they were still untangling themselves. They were individuating themselves, and in a channeling through Terry some time ago, it said they took over a spaceship and then tried to take it off because it looked like the Anunnaki were just coming in and having vacations all the time, and then the humans blew up the spaceship. So, you know, they were a difficult crew. And the Anunnaki were trying to manage them by being God to them, or gods. And that we had a couple of sessions on the Spirit Channel where the Old Testament was indicated as the gods of the Old Testament were actually either all or by and large Anunnakis. That's why you have so many different names for God. And you have, you know, Jehovah, you have Yahweh, you have Adonai, and then there were the gods that were not desirable, like Baal. And then we have the gods of Egypt that prior to Akhenaten and after Akhenaten were the also probably Anunnaki connected. And this is the way the Anunnaki were trying to control us for this planet. And then you have all these very difficult beings who are still individuating themselves. And I should say, I didn't mention this last week, but there was not only Maldek, which exploded, there was also Mars. Apparently, Mars was a populated planet, and according to Carla Ruckert, they were moving souls from Maldek and Mars to Earth. And so the Earth was populated by these difficult beings. And then there was attempts to evolve them. Now, this is really important, because guess what? We are those beings. Now, I'm not saying every being on our planet. There weren't other sources and other races that came in. But I think by and large, in the Western world, we are the beings from Maldek and Mars. And it's why there is such difficulty amongst humans when people call them sheeple or blind believers, and they're still being attempted to be programmed by television, by news. There's huge control patterns in this realm. Some of you know it, some of you may not, but there's lots of evidence that that is true, and you are programmed, and you know, when you're programmed, you don't know you're programmed because you think that's what truth is. And so when you hear something that counters your programming, you say, you get rebellious on it. So some of this stuff is going to counter your programming. For example, if you grew up in the Hebrew religion and you go through the tradition of all the patriarchs and the gods of the Old Testament and Yahweh, suddenly I'm saying something that is completely different. And, you know, I made those statements last week, but I wanted to give a little bit of the backup on it so that at least there's some research and some history behind what I'm saying, because I'm saying things that I never heard anyone say. I mean, I've heard people say little pieces of it, but not the entire enchilada. And so, starting off with Ra, and it's my idea that the Ra group has been, had been working with humans on the inner planes, and that the Anunnaki, who were derivative of the Elohim, by the way, the Anunnaki didn't know about the Ra group. Now, that's when I asked that question, that's the answer they said. And just let's go with that and let's say that's true. And so we have the Ra group, I'm looking here. Ah, this is the research. This is the stuff I was going to prepare before I got on. My first clue to this, and it was just a clue, I didn't believe it, okay, was one of the channelings of Wilcock in the year 2000. And in that channeling, Wilcock, it was called Ascension and the Birth of the Christ Within Us All. One of the cases I made in the reincarnation of Edgar Cayce is that the Ra group was talking about, as many of you know, graduating this realm, separating of souls, and some souls will move to a higher octave earth, and other souls will be repeating, cycle repeaters, and that I recognized when I read that esoteric explanation that it was seemingly connected to things Jesus said, where he said, one will be taken, one will be left behind. The meek will inherit the earth. And what we were learning was the higher octaves earth was going to, the earth was moving into fourth density, from third density to fourth density. And that meant that the earth was moving from being a third chakra planet, which would be third density, to a fourth chakra planet, which would be heart, or fourth chakra. Third density is solar plexus. And so in order for a human to continue with this new earth, their heart chakra had to be open slightly more than half, or their energy field would no longer be contained within the earth's energy field. And then it was said that the people who were cycle repeaters, who did not graduate, would be moved to another planet in another solar system, somewhere to start over third density evolution. And it was also indicated that the Ra group was the group that would move the souls from Earth to wherever they were going to continue. So there was the idea that the Ra group was administrating all this, and of course, it was very similar to what Jesus says, but in a much more esoteric way. And so one of the chapters in The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, and you know, some of you think you don't have to read this stuff, and you're missing out by not reading it, because there's so much, especially in the Ra channelings, there's such an opportunity to vibrationally connect with this Ra group. And the Ra group, if I'm correct, is very important in this process. Perhaps sometimes more than the Elohim group. I'm not sure. But the Ra group seems to work much more closely with us. They have wisdoms of how to get out of this realm, how to graduate from their experience level. Not from the Elohim group watches us vicariously. And of course, both groups have the ability to send a signal from the higher realms into this realm that we can pick up. And I believe the signal from the Elohim group might be stronger than the signal from the Ra group. So it's so valuable for us to have this connection, to be able to tap into both the energies and the wisdoms of both groups. So the chapter that triggered me off, the reading that Wilcott did, and I think it was in the year 1999 or 2000, was titled in the book, Ascension and the Birth of Christ Within Us All. And I'm not going to read the whole chapter, but I want you to get the feel of it. Think about this source that's saying these words, having been the source that was connected to Jesus. Look at the words and think of the possibilities. Now, not every one of Wilcox's channelings sounded like this. This particular channeling had a certain resonance to it. And here I'm starting. It is not to be discussed nor talked about as though something you could understand or grasp consciously. What you can do is approach its knowledge by following its demands. The demands it places are very simple. To view those other selves as the self. To embrace the true principle of Christ. And to identify completely with that awareness in your own person. To make it abundantly clear to all those involved that you yourself have followed these commands, not out of a feeling of guilt or fear, but rather out of an innate sense of responsibility to thine own fellow man. Such responsibility needs to be generated from within, from the realization of the oneness of the one true being, that soul essence or entity that is composed of so much more than your physical matter. Break for a second and look in on yourself. Take 5 minutes each day to observe your own routines, your own thought patterns. Do they align with the supreme will? Wait a second here. Of the one being. Or do they indulge in the fallen energies of ego, pride, and discomfort? Where do you reside in God's many mansions? Do you rise to the top as the leavening makes the bread to sprout into full bloom? Or do you remain as the hard, caked-in dirt on the bottom that needs to be scrubbed away? Think about this as you contemplate the bread of life, the bread of the Christ, the the bread of the one true being that is shared amongst all of us as that life essence we can all partake of. Know in thine own heart that the message of the Christ is forever profound and forever simple. Embrace the simplicity and know that in that pure moment of time, you have grasped the unknowable. For it is through your conduct, both in thoughts and in actions, that the gateway to infinity is opened. A plot is being hatched for all of you, a plot to examine the self under the microscope, to then see up close the parts that have been hiding, the parts that cause despair, fear, anger, rage, embitterment, jealousy, grief, apathy, depression, sadness, morbidity, strife, ego, stress, etc. Never before in human history have you had the pressure of the solar changes weighing upon you as they do now. And of course, comment from when the solar changes mean the end of the 75,000-year cycle. This energy that is very high coming into our planet right now. Now, let me see here. I'm losing my place. Just a moment. Almost done. Okay, here we go. It is important to understand that all are affected by this cycle, regardless of whether it is apparent to them or not. And thus, there is indeed a very concrete reason why many of you are feeling so out of touch, so compelled to look back through the past and deal with the issues as they emerge. Indeed, it is the compelling force of the Christ consciousness that is blowing the doors wide open and expanding the limits that now surround you. We do see that this expansion is similar to the expansion of the womb and the contractions prior to the birth of the Christ child. It is not a simple process by any means, but one which requires all those who participate to hold their breath, to clasp hands gingerly together, and look down with fear and awe at the massive force coming from within that is necessary as the final push towards birth is then made. Similarly, see these breath contractions of the collective human fourth dimensional mind is occurring now. Do not fail to separate the personal issues within the self from those issues occurring in the world at large. For to do otherwise is to not grasp the full realm of possibilities that you wait for. The punchline is yet to come, but come it will. Right now, you are being set up for the final blast love energy. That part kicked in at the end that makes everything snap together, leading to peals of uproarious laughter. I'm just skipping through here. It is not necessary to remain a larva or a pupa forever, as these are merely growth stages. So too will you sprout your angel wings and a light within the firmament, moving towards that shining star in the heavens which beckons you, the glory of the true Christ consciousness, the one God that extends throughout all creation, the everlasting light of pure radiant love that calls all under its swing that would feel its holy presence. When you are so surrounded by the heavenly host, it is indeed rather foolish for you to be so concerned about an alien invasion, if you will. There never would be a possibility for something like this to take place, as you are indeed heavily protected and quarantined from the outside world at this point in time. We come to you on a narrow band vibration, a band that you can perceive early in the morning as you rise into full waking consciousness, a band that will be speaking to you with greater and greater clarity in every moment. But can you hear the call? Do you understand the words of the Father as they are spoken from his lips to thine own mind? Canst thou assemble the sentences properly as they have been heard in the early waking delirium that is so commonly discarded with the fury of the alarm clock? Indeed, do you rest comfortably with the notion of species-to-species contact and communion, or even spirit-to-spirit contact, knowing full well the being you wish to contact is the Christ himself? What surprise comes to you at the realization that this very Christ is now designed to become literally your personal savior, but not in the sense that the fundamentalists would have it. Rather, it is that spark in you. It is you and you are it. There is no separation. Therefore, you can call it what you will, but the effects are the same. Your own divine spark is awakening within you, and thus the phrase in the Bible. Let me not read this, because I don't want to read all of this. So now, the statement of I am the way, the truth, and the light, and no one can come unto the Father but me, they go through that statement because many people, many religions take that statement and they say Christ is the only way, Christ is the supreme Savior, and they interpret it that way. And they take that statement and they give it a different explanation. And then they say, this statement has been hopelessly distorted to all sorts of selfish situations, including but not limited to those who would use it as a means to bolster their own faith, and to say that all those who do not believe in Jesus are forever condemned to an eternal hellfire of some sort, made gruesome in its potentialities for prolonged intense suffering. And yet, the masses of your people insist on some level within that this inner Christ is what is being accomplished. Now, here is the big statement they made when I was studying the Wilcox channelings, and I said, what do they mean by this? So take note, because of the damage we sustained in our religion, namely Christianity, we often come to you without ever speaking in these exact terms. Okay, the damage we sustained in our religion, namely Christianity. So I said, what are these? Remember, you can't believe a channeling and say this is true, but you can start contemplating it, because essentially they're saying that Christianity was their religion. So that is the thing I wanted to reach there. Well, then I had read that, and And I read that in the year 2000. I was just busy doing all the studying for the Wilcock book that I was writing. And I put that in the book, but I did not call any particular attention to it. And I was a little scared to. I mean, obviously, if you talk about this stuff publicly and you try to say, well, the Ra group is who Jesus called Father, you're going to get attacked. People are going to think you're, you know, the, how would I say it, the Antichrist or whatever. And you can't make that claim, and I'm not even making that claim now. I am just reporting on some of the research I did, because a lot of the research put me into that particular idea. Now, remember, that was the Ra group, and that if Wilcock was channeling the Ra group, that means Casey was channeling the Ra group. And Casey always, well, there was a mystery with Casey. He never could know exactly who he was channeling. It was kind of a mystery. And so he said it was the Christ. He believed it to be the Christ. And, of course, he was a fundamentalist Christian. And when he started doing this channeling, he had some bit of a time checking it out, trying to make sure that it was not demonic, because that's the first thought that any Christian would have in this kind of situation, that this must be demonic. And one of the interesting things about the Casey work is for the first 20 years, Casey was only channeling health information, never anything controversial. And he had to be shown and be proven to that what he was doing was positive. And then it was only after 20 years that they started talking about more esoteric things, as well as reincarnation. So, item number two, Casey believed it was the Christ speaking to him. Item number one, they just said, we came to you in Christianity, but we don't speak in those terms anymore. And oftentimes I quote that and they say, that's the way religion screwed it up. That's not exactly what they say, but that's what they mean. Okay? Item number three, there is this book that I was in Encinitas with DK in 2002, and I was in a metaphysical bookstore, and she pulled it off the shelf, and she said, they want you to read this. Now, some of you, you can go look this book up, and it's really complicated, and in some ways, it's a little scary. There are some things in it that are scary if you can manage to understand it, but it is really hard to understand. And it was a channeled book, and it talks about all the complexities on the other side that are affecting our planet, the negative groups, positive groups, how they were all interfacing. And when I say it's hard to understand, let me read just a paragraph of something. I just opened it up to a point. You'll see what I mean. So I don't recommend this book to everybody. During the five-year period prior to the half point in the cycle, when Earth's Centaur shift into the fourth-dimensional frequency band, the part of Earth's particles that vibrate pulsate at D5 speed begin to fully transmit and appear on Tara within the time cycles of HU2. The highest vibrating particles enter hyperspace and reappear in the future. The portions of Earth particles that pulsate slowest fall further in vibration with the release of the highest pulsating particles and drop into the unified field at the base tone frequency of patterns D1. All right, you get what I mean. If for some of you, if you understood that, if it pushed cellular triggers that were good, then you might want to read this book. But, I mean, some of these pages I read over and over again, and I'm still not completely clear of what they're meaning to say. The book is called Voyagers. It's by a woman by the name of Ashayana Dean. It's called Voyagers Volume 2. There's a Volume 1. Now, I was reading this book, and I'm reading all of that stuff that I just read to you, and suddenly I came to a place in this book that seemed to be supporting my theory that the Ra group was connected to Jesus. And she called the Ra group the Ra Confederacy. And never in all my years of studying metaphysical things had I ever heard of the Ra group, except as, like most of you, Ra, the sun god in Egypt. But that was not the Ra group. That was something else. So this is this little paragraph I'm going to read in that book. Due to the Templar and Templar Axiom seals, the concept of soul harvesting became part of many religious teachings. Soul harvesting referred to souls bearing the Templar seals. Let me tell you what Templar seals are. We all have our chakras. We know we have these seven chakras, and the chakras expand your energies into other dimensions. And there is a veil around our planet that keeps those chakras, for most people, going past the veil. People are sealed, their energy fields are sealed within the planet's energy. And Templar seals are one of the words that are used in this book for that concept of sealing the chakras from getting beyond this realm. And so now she talks, became part of many religious teachings. Soul harvesting referred to souls bearing the Templar seals being brought by one of the helper organizations before the Ra Confederacy for review, at which time those souls deemed safe for transit to Tara. And Tara was the higher level Earth, or higher systems, would be released from the Templar seals and allowed to end the perpetual cycles of birth and rebirth on Earth. Those passing the review would have evolved to comprehension of the necessity for the Law of One and would have actively employed those principles within their present incarnation. Passing the review meant the soul would be harvested or cleared of its distortions and allowed to ascend to Tara for rebirth within the sixth and seventh races to follow its completed Taran cycles. And then the soul could ascend out of matter. In some traditions, this concept became translated as Judgment Day, or having similar ideas of having to pass God's test and become worthy. But in truth, God's universe is free, and these concepts applied only to beings bearing the Templar seals who wore the armor of their disregard for the Law of One within the configurations of their genetic codes. Processes of initiation that developed through the mystery schools of old and those of present were all designed to assist in the ascension passage. Many were designed specifically to release the Templar seals. Many people of present-day Earth carry some portion or all of the Templar seals, and they will experience such a review before passing into the astral plane in death. Others can begin this review before death by working with spiritual principles and guardians, ascended masters, who will help them learn the Law of One so the seals can be removed prior to death, which will allow some individuals to transmute the body, pass through the halls of Vedanti to Tara, immortalizing the body as it was originally intended. Okay. Well, remember, who does that review? The Ra Confederacy. Well, the Ra Confederacy has to be the Ra group. And when I picked up this book, remember, again, Daphne picked it up off the shelf and said, they want you to read this. And I started reading it, and I said, I don't understand this. And then I got into that one paragraph that I just read, and it so resonated with what I was coming up with myself. And having studied metaphysical things all of my life, I never had read anything about the Ra group, never heard of the Ra group, and suddenly I'm in the middle of the Ra group with David Wilcock and Carla Rucker, and I'm studying them, and suddenly I come along from an independent book that seems to be supporting the same premises that I was coming up with. So that kind of blew me away. And then that was in 2002. Finally, in 2003, I was with DK. In fact, I flew to Atlanta, Georgia. And we were going to attempt another go at getting together. And we were driving her car, and we went through Louisville, and we decided we were going to visit Carla and David. I had never met David. And we were doing some sessions in a motel, and I came up with this question that I was addressing, and I asked it. Now, remember, don't believe channelings. I mean, I'm putting a case together. So you can hear the channeling, you compare it to something else, you can compare it to something else, and if it all points in the same direction, maybe I'm right. Maybe I have it right. So this was an incredible session we did. I see we got about 5 minutes left. So let me read this, and we'll close on this. Remember, I am making the idea that when Jesus said Father, it was the Ra group who answered. Very controversial idea. No one else has ever said it, to my knowledge. So the date was August 22nd, 2003. Are we proceeding to the divine conscious access mechanism? The latent rarefied structures of DNA, molecular wiring of sublogi, solar logos, slowed down beneath threshold to the speed of light. This results in materialization of form. The trick challenged to remain open to the highest frequencies of love while incarnate in a substellar, i.e. sublight speed vehicle, of materialization. Proceed with questions, please. Very interesting the way they started that, because on our plane, we think the speed of light is as high as it gets, and they're saying on their plane, things are faster than the speed of light. We are a sub-speed of light manifestation. Who is speaking to us right now? We have regarded this contact closely. We identify ourselves. We are the ninth vibration of your solar council of the local Elohim under the direct tutelage of Ra and in association with the Council of An and the Council of Banas. Thank you. Could you explain the interaction of Ra and the Elohim in relationship to the one known as Jesus and the relationship to the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost? Answer. This is a complex interrelationship dynamic, as you have so asked. Let us proceed as follows. Father, Son, Holy Ghost, it is written, know in your world religions of the Trinitarian consciousness. It is the key, the triune, the destiny of the heart to link with the psychos, the psyche, and the spirit to form a vortex energy spiraling out of the propensity for heaviness and Saturn boxed inness of this local density. When the Father decided to manifest the Son, he gave a part of his life essence and essentially threw a spark into the denser realms, into the denser ethers, in order to, shall we say, ignite them in the passion of the higher densities of the love vibration. Do you understand this? Now, some of them are going to make a comment. Some of you have made me, heard me say that the Ra group, in my opinion, created a vortex, a connection from the higher realms into the life force of Jesus, and was able to lift those beings who were around Jesus into a higher density of vibration, which in Christianity became known as the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit. And they're kind of saying that there. So when I want to ask a question, who was the one, the Father, the one infinite creator? Who is the Father in relationship to Jesus? The one infinite creator? Ra, the Elohim? Who would have represented the Father in terms of the specific decision to work with the Son in this density? Answer. As you would understand this question, this decision was made by the one known as Ra. When? Thank you. Did the Elohim co-create, participate in this event? The Elohim were of a supportive nature. Similarly, as a mother and father are supportive in their roles to bringing up a child. When was the Holy Spirit energy, which I define as the vibratory energetic space around me, becoming aware that it is uplifted by the energetic force? Answer. You speak in terms too intellectual. Move into the field of the heart. It is there you will find the key to the Holy Spirit. It is, shall we say, the gift, the parousia. Look up this word. It is the descent of the Pentecostal dove into the heart. And so then I asked if Jesus, how did he uncover his mission? He was in constant and direct communication with the Father and knew from a very early age about what you would say 4 or 5 years old, that he was here for a very specific purpose. He was here for a mission to enable humankind civilization to emerge to the next step. When? And so the Father would have been Ra, and he was getting messages. This is affirmative. In his dreams, and also in his conscious waking state, he was incredibly intuitive. He saw God everywhere, in everything, and in everyone.